Welcome to Business Soul Friends. In this podcast, we listen to women sharing their stories of investing in each other and in themselves and the journey of being in business together as best friends or sisters. I'm your host, Susanna Nicolai, wedding photographer at Alethea, the blur between you. Is it possible to have a friend soulmate? Like a friend mate? Or a soul friend? I think so. I'm so glad you're here. Hi everyone, welcome to Business Soul Friends. I have another fabulous conversation for you this week. Wisco & White, a fabulous Italian wedding planning service run by Lucy and Danielle. And this week we're having a conversation with Lucy. So Wisco and White, as I said, Italian wedding planning service, but serve and support their couples in such a variety of ways. Their work is absolutely beautiful. And I had come across them seeing what they do, just sort of being in the wedding industry. And I always try and find different types of businesses that are run between sisters and friends for you. So different ways of working, different sorts of partnerships. And I came across Wisco & White and I saw that it was run by Lucy and Danielle, friends who became friends through Lucy having her own wedding out in Italy. And I thought, do you know what, I would just love to hear their story, hear about the connection between them that made them think, yes, we could work in business together, and how it's all developed over the years. So I was just so excited whenever Lucy came on and said, yes, she'll come and speak with us. So I think you're in for a real treat today. Danielle is based in Italy. Lucy is split her time between the UK and Italy. And yes, she has so much wonderfulness to share with us today. So that is the episode. I think let's just get on with it. So, oh, sorry, I did have to let you know the audio. I'm so sorry, was not brilliant on this. Lucy's side, it's fantastic. There are no problems. My side, it was not great. Not that you're missing much. So I have tried to even that out because you don't want to be changing your volume every 2 seconds. That's super duper annoying. So I think it should be okay. If at some point you feel that perhaps I'm a tiny bit quiet, honestly, you're not missing anything. Don't worry. Lucy will soon come in with her lovely voice with all the things we were chatting about. So I'm sorry that it isn't perfect. But here we go. Hello, Lucy.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast episode. Thank you so much for being here. I have introduced you a little bit in the preamble about Wisco & White, Lucy and Danielle. But I wonder if you could just, you know, open it for us with a wee bit about yourself. Tell us a wee bit about yourself.
A little bit about me. Well, I'm Lucy White. I am 36 years old and I live in, most of the time, I live in Dorking in Surrey, in the UK. And in the summer, I spend my time in Italy. I'm a wedding planner. So first and foremost, I plan Italian weddings with my partner, Danielle, who is based in Italy. And alongside the wedding planning, we have relatively recently set up another business called La Lista, which supports couples planning Italian weddings, but in lots of other ways, not just with their planning.
You do have so much going on. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, about how you manage to, you know, grow your business, manage all the different facets that it involves, and starting La Lista as well. I mean, it's incredible. But I thought, I know that it started with your own wedding. Had your own destination wedding in Italy. So I wonder if you could start perhaps by telling us a bit about, you know, that. So why you decided on a destination wedding, why you decided Italy, and kind of what that experience was like, because I know that's how you met Danielle.
Yeah, it is. So what year was it? In 2013, I went on holiday to Italy with my husband. I was really lucky that his dad was 60 and booked a villa for us to go to. So he wanted us to go on a Tuscan holiday. And I think it was my second time that I'd been to Italy. So very, very new to me. It was actually my husband's love of Italy that really kind of kicked us off on the journey of kind of going there and obviously then we went with his dad, and on that trip with his family, he ended up proposing. And as we were in Italy and we had kind of completely fallen in love with Tuscany, we were had this dream of, oh, I know, we'll just get married in Italy, which is, I think, how most couples start on this kind of engagement. Oh, everything's so excited, and we get all carried away on this destination wedding idea, and then reality hits and you start to explore what it's actually like to get married in Italy. So we did that. We got engaged, got drunk, and decided an Italian wedding would be the thing. And then when we got back to England, we just had to kind of scope it out a bit, and we spoke to some family about whether they would come. And I guess back then, because it was actually almost 10 years ago, it was a little less kind of common, maybe, and it felt a bit of a big deal asking everybody to travel and come and, you know, spend their money on getting to Italy. But we really just wanted to share this magical experience that we'd had being in Tuscany with everybody else. And that's kind of where the idea came from, and somehow we ended up managing to do it, but it was quite a challenge at the time.
What did you find challenging, and how did Danielle then get in the picture?
Yeah, so, well, I like to make my life a challenge. At the time, I worked in events, so I thought I could do it, you know, as well. Oh, I can just plan a wedding in Italy. Couldn't speak any Italian. And obviously, I'd literally only been there really twice, and I had no real understanding of the culture like I do now. So we started trying to plan it ourselves. We had the venue, because we actually got married in the villa that we'd been on holiday to. So we had the venue, and that was all brilliant. And then we started to piece the other things together. And it was a little bit kind of, it was just a challenge knowing that, well, what all of the options were, whether we were picking the right things, because we hadn't planned a wedding. So I don't think we knew really what we needed or wanted. And so naturally, one of the first steps is you get in, kind of, you get a caterer, and we were introduced to a catering company, and Danielle, my now business partner, was the manager of the catering company. So, like, I think it happens to a lot of caterers, you get the relationship and then the couple start asking you more questions and for more support. And we did that to Danielle. But she was smart, because she said, you know, I can help you with more things. So she ended up helping us with the paperwork, because we legally got married in Italy, obviously with the catering and quite a few of the other suppliers that we needed. And she just added so much value that I didn't know that I needed. So when I was trying to do it, you know, I could have picked a caterer, I could have picked a meal, but she kind of recommended how to kind of do it in the best way, and what the kind of the best food is that goes together, and other logistical things that we probably wouldn't have thought about. And we made enough mistakes with our wedding. Like, we planned it really quite badly now on reflection, because we wanted it this certain way, and she helped us make fewer of those bad decisions, basically. But obviously found a balance of letting us do the things we wanted to do.
It is tricky planning a destination wedding. So I got married in Cyprus just last year, because my husband is from Cyprus, so his family was there. So we decided to get married out there. But then you don't know with the destination wedding how many people of those are going to come. So if you say, example, you know, if you invited maybe 120, but then only 70 you're able to come, in terms of your venue, your ceremony space, yes, even kind of maybe the food options, it all links, doesn't it, and has a knock-on effect. And sometimes you don't really know what the options are, even really what you want, I find.
I think so, yeah. It's a really challenging thing to kind of start thinking about. And now I've been planning the weddings for a long time, I can kind of see that order, and I can see the moments where you kind of what information you need to have at the different points, and the kind of thinking through that you need to do at those different points. But it's still every single couple, every single time, there is a moment where it's completely confusing. You know, what do I do first? Do I ask all the guests to come, and then I know how many I've got, and then I can book this and that? Or do we book a venue, but we book a smaller one because we aren't sure everyone will come? It is a real challenge, and it's just a case of constantly weighing up those risks and factors to try and make the best decisions that you can.
Yes. So you had Danielle, who I was doing a little bit of reading. So she's lived in Italy for quite a long time and she got married out there as well. It sounds like...
It's this lovely, yeah, it's a lovely story. She, so Danielle's quite a lot older than me. She's in her mid-60s now, and she would have loved to come on this podcast, but she doesn't like public speaking, so it's just me. But Danielle is from Yorkshire in the UK, and she moved to Italy technically when she was around 20, after she met her husband Nicola when she was really young on an exchange. And so she married Nicola back in the 80s and had a lovely kind of a very similar wedding to me in a like villa. It was his family villa, but it was a similar setup, and it was just a kind of about food and people. She's been through the same process, and then she has lived in Italy ever since. So she's got a family, like kids that are actually my age, and she's got grandchildren. So she's a fully fledged Italian, which we need in our business to make it work.
So I know that, I think you said it in a few places, that it was the day after your wedding and Danielle pitched you this idea about going to business together. Which is a massive thing. If you think about all the couples as a caterer that she will have, you know, the different people that she'll have interacted with, but there must have been something about you two together and your relationship that she then mentioned it to you. So I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit how that all came to be.
Yeah, so we got on really, really well through planning. And I think it's obviously quite an easy thing. You could not get on with your planner quite easily, because it's quite a tense relationship and there's quite a lot of factors going on. And while we planned our wedding, we went traveling, so we quit our jobs and went traveling and tried to plan it in 9 months from Asia and with Danielle. So I think I only met Danielle once just before we went traveling, and we just got on really well. The day after the wedding, as you say, she came to have a little debrief, and she kind of made a bit of a joke. I remember exactly where we were sitting. She made a bit of a joke about how we could do this together, because she'd seen that I love organising things. I do like events. I'm very particular about things, but I just loved being in Italy. And, even my wedding was probably only my third or fourth time being there, but I just knew that I loved it. So she made a little joke about it, but she never jokes. So I already kind of knew. I was like, okay. I just didn't believe that that could be possible. I had a very different career, and I thought, how could I possibly create this life where you just plan weddings and you're in Italy a lot? And so I sort of just laughed it off. And Danielle's a very persistent person, so over the next year she just mentioned it a few times. I can't actually remember kind of why we were in touch, because we had no real reason to be. We just sort of formed a friendship. And then one day, when I had taken a career change and I was in a job that I hated, she took the opportunity to come and find me literally on my lunch hour and just suggest again that we do it. And we did. From that moment, I actually went and quit my job, and we set up Whisker and White as a side kind of hustle. So I still had another job in the end, but we kicked it off. So I don't know what it is about us. It's just always been a very natural relationship. I think, I don't know, we're quite deep, the both of us, and we just think on a kind of deeper level, at our core, we're very similar people. Like, we might be different ages and have had very different lives and all these other layers on top, but actually we've got the same sort of beliefs and values and motivations, and that's what kind of keeps us working well together.
I love how it happens differently for different people, and also the big change sometimes, you know, it can be one day you're doing something and one day you're doing the next thing, right? Sometimes just these big changes happen, but I think for a lot of people, a lot of the time, it happens in stages, and you need to, you know, things need to align, you need to allow things to mull over. So actually, you know, there's quite a big gap, well, in some ways a year is a big gap between sort of first being entering your head, but also lots of other, it sounds like lots of other things were happening, and then gradually, and then, you know, you start alongside something else initially.
Yeah, I think you're right about the kind of, you have to plant a seed and then you can allow that to kind of develop, and maybe you have to realize how, you have to work out how it's possible, and kind of things do just naturally have to happen over time or when they're meant to, rather than just, you know, you can't just change your life and, well, you can. You could just quit your job and try and start something new, but that would probably be a little bit risky.
You've mentioned sort of a wee bit already, but you know that you were doing events, I know that you've been an intern at Oxfam, I think you worked as a florist for a little while and things. What was it that made you feel yes to changing your career? And you've kind of said already why yes to this particular person, but what was it that sort of felt like, yes, this, I think this would be the right career and this is why?
Okay, so I'm a like chronic, well, I'm recovering overthinker, and perfectionist and all these things. And actually the beautiful thing about this is I didn't overthink it. In fact, I didn't give it that much thought at all. I think because like we've said, I started it alongside something else, it felt safe. So initially it felt safe because I had my other career. This was kind of a fun side thing, and it meant that I could, you know, learn some new things and travel, and I was doing it with this friend Danielle, and then again it's kind of, it took its time to teach me that it was again safe to kind of work in this different way and do, you know, kind of be creative, because that was something that was probably bashed out of me a little bit when I was younger. So it's safe to be creative, it's safe to work in a way that you want, not kind of the 9-to-5 and all of the things again that I've been sort of taught growing up. And then eventually it was just the right time to kind of change over to doing it rather than the job that I had. But I had to learn it kind of a slow and potentially quite long lesson, that it was okay to do that. And we never ever had a plan either. Like, I love a strategy, I love plans and numbers, and but we never built that. We actually just went with it, which is uncomfortable as well, for me, but it didn't feel uncomfortable to just follow the kind of, let it show us the way, really. Does that make any sense?
No, it definitely makes sense. And also, I think sometimes if you're moving into something new, you know, you don't always know what you don't know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, actually, and it means you're going in with fresh eyes and things as well to something, which I think is helpful as well.
Yeah, I think it's a benefit that actually, because obviously, like, when you go into a new role like this, obviously you don't really know much, and you can get terrible imposter syndrome because you are just, you know, one day I just called myself a wedding planner and I didn't have a lot of experience as a wedding planner, but I had, Danielle was effectively like my mentor, whilst I had some other skills that could be applied. I knew nothing about Italian weddings. I couldn't speak Italian, loads of things, but I had to kind of jump in and trust the process, and let it take its time.
And particularly if sort of the styling element alongside the planning, I feel like you do a lot of the styling. You're quite sort of creative in that way, and some of that just speaks for itself, you know, like the work speaks for itself. People see how you style something and they think this person can see, has vision.
The styling, actually, interestingly, I mean, it's obviously creatively you're always learning, right, and you're finding your way of doing things, but that was the hardest thing for me to really get into, because as I say, it was kind of bashed out of me, so I'd kind of lost that kind of intuitive kind of creativity, I guess. I knew how to write a business plan, I could do the marketing, I could get the customers in, I could look after them, but the styling I had really low confidence in. And it's only been the last couple of years, after doing some and they're good and people like them and you attract the right client, that you get more, and then you just develop and develop. But that's actually been the slowest kind of part of my development, and finally getting there, I think, with that. My confidence is up, and I'm excited to start.
Can you remember the first wedding that you and Danielle did together?
I remember going to a couple of weddings that she already kind of had. So there was two particular ones that we went to in the first year. So she was already booked as the planner, probably because the catering were doing the catering. So the company she worked for. So she'd probably been added on as the planner. And one of them, it just torrentially rained for 3 days and it was terrible. And obviously not my Tuscan dream of, oh, I'm going to be a wedding planner in Tuscany. And then it was really, really, really hard work and, you know, terrible rain. So it was quite a challenge. And then another one she had, which was a massive wedding, a Persian wedding. So definitely saw the kind of rough side of the work first, and saw her in her element. Just Danielle absolutely thrives when she's just in charge and getting stuff to happen and done. And I definitely saw that first year. I probably quite liked that she was so just not I'm not power hungry, but I liked how she led everybody and kind of managed the supplier team in a way that meant everyone worked really well together, fixed problems together, just had this really good attitude. I thought it was quite amazing, really, that she could make all of that stuff happen.
How did you decide your roles? And, you know, at the very start, whenever you're thinking, okay, let's do it together, how do you divide up who does what?
So I'm very ambitious, and Danielle always reminds me that when she came back and met me at my job I hated, and she said, let's do it again. And I said to her, right, okay, let's do it, but I'm going to need to be the best at this. I warned her that I would aim high, and we were all in. And I don't think we set full goals. So the first couple of years, we just thought, let's just try and get a few weddings, do them together and learn how we like to do it. And we kind of made it up that way. And I do think that's a benefit of me not really having any experience in it, because I came at it from a really different perspective. So we could just create how we want to do it and how our weddings work, rather than this is how you plan a wedding, blah, blah, blah. So our roles have definitely shifted over the years. It started with Danielle very much led everything in terms of planning, because she knew how to do it. And I was just on this massive steep learning curve of how does this all work? Getting to know, it's crazy now, like getting to know geography, how venues work, how all the different suppliers work, who everyone is, how to try and understand Italian, all of it. So I was kind of just following her in terms of the planning. Whilst I'm more of an organizer, I started off with, I did all the marketing side and the branding and things. And then I just tried to sort of have an overview, like a project plan of each wedding, because Danielle's epic at planning weddings, but she's not into spreadsheets and having plans. So we could use both of our strengths to kind of build this together. So, yeah, I don't think we had goals. We just wanted to try and start. So the first couple of years we had very few weddings, and we did just start. And then it's developed over time that our roles, sorry, there's a fly. Our roles have changed quite a lot over the years, and now we have a different way of doing things, but we've just sort of evolved and gone with it. It all sounds like it's been so smooth. It has not. Like anything, it has not, but we're in a good place at the moment.
Can you remember any specific moment or time, perhaps whenever you were a few years in and you felt like perhaps the vision was changing, perhaps, you know, you were wanting to, I don't know, either change how you worked or changed sort of what you wanted your business structure to be? Was there any sort of moment that you just felt like the direction of where you wanted to go was perhaps changing, and how did you, you know, navigate that together?
Yeah, I think there's been two key moments. So I remember, so we'd started and we had a couple of years. I got pregnant, and in the moment, literally the month that my son was due, we had more inquiries than we'd ever had before. And it was like, of course we have. In the time that I'm about to not be as available, everything kind of is kicking off. And that was a moment where we could see, I think, the potential of this. So we'd just been doing it as an aside thing, you know, probably not charging enough, all of those kind of mistakes that you make at the beginning. And then this was a moment where it was like, gosh, this could really actually be what we both want, which is our jobs permanently. And we can do the types of weddings that we want. We have quite a strong, a very strong vision. It's actually the fundamental reason we do what we do, but we want Italian weddings to be kind of on this pillar of integrity. We want people to have a really good planning experience and really clear and know where they are and have an incredible wedding. And that's why we basically started. But this was the moment it proved to us, okay, well, how we're doing it, even though it's different to a lot of other people, is working. And that was a moment we basically, Danielle, I think she actually at that point did start to pull back from the catering. And I had this first idea of, oh, I might not go back to my job once I've had my son. This could be it. Great. So that was one big moment. And unfortunately, as much as we really wanted the inquiries, it meant that I did have my son and I worked almost straight away. Didn't have much of a maternity leave because there was, you know, it was taking off and it was too much of an opportunity not to go with that flow of things.
That is a big change.
It was a lot of change at one big moment. Yeah.
And now you do so many things. You've got your newsletters, you do social media, you've got a beautiful website with your blog, you've started La Lista, which I'd love for you to tell everybody a bit about, because that's incredible. What a resource. Obviously you have your clients and the planning, and then actually delivering, you know, on site on the day. I know you offer like kind of, I forgot what you call them, not like a power hour, but you offer like lots of different ways, yeah, to try and work with you, and so many different facets.
Yes.
I don't even know what to ask about that. How do you manage all of that?
Well, not everyone listening can see how tired and rough I look at the moment. It sums it up. I mean, I guess, as I mentioned, I am ambitious. So I know that I actually have a weakness where I do take on too much. So let's start there. It's probably too much. But I really like what I do, and I'm really driven by the things that I do. How do I do it? So there was a point where, well, in 2020, where we were actually, I think I was driving to Italy. It was during COVID, so it was August. We were just going quickly because I couldn't bear to be apart from my beloved Italy. We went across, even though we had no weddings, and we were driving there, and that's when I thought of the idea of La Lista, which basically and ultimately is supporting more couples on a larger scale. That's all it really is. Whisker and White is always going to be a kind of small planning business, but we wanted to help more people. We have so many inquiries and people that get into quite a mess with their Italian planning. And we just thought, how can we support them in a different way, where we don't just buckle under having far too many weddings? So that's where kind of La Lista came about. But it brought with it a whole new vision and ambition, which I definitely couldn't deliver on my own. So that was the moment we decided to try having a team. And we'd always said it would just be the two of us and we'd just have 10 or 15 weddings a year in this lovely lifestyle. And that's when it changed. And we decided that we would try this different way. So we sort of hired part-time staff for different roles. And now it's kind of 2 years on from that moment, or is it 2 years? Yeah, two-ish, 2.5 years from then. And we've tested quite a lot of different models with our staff, so kind of who does what and the support we need, basically getting it right, has been testing and learning, and we feel like we're pretty good with that. But that's how we do it. We just have a really good team, really clear roles in that team, and a really clear direction. So as much as my team probably, honestly, they hate it because I write a lot of words down. So we have quite a lot of strategies. We have a big plan. We know what we're doing and why, but that's why I'm driven to do all of the things, because I know that there's a really good why behind it, and it's gonna deliver something for us, whether it's a specific small goal or it leads to a bigger direction that we're moving in. That's what kind of keeps us going. Yeah.
Sort of on that, with the roles that people have, so in the summer, which I'm imagining is, you know, your sort of peak wedding season.
Yeah.
How do you two be on the ground together?
I don't know if I should be honest here, because our couples might hear it and be like, oh, they're not as organised as as we thought. I sort of mentioned with Visco and White, we've been so much less kind of planned, and we still are. It's still quite intuitive. We don't define everything super, super clearly. So like, we don't, until very recently, because we've got some kind of team members on Whisker and Whiteside now, we've actually had to be more kind of have things written down a bit more and more accountable to them. But we used to want to both go to all of our weddings, and we still do, but we can't because of family reasons and things like that. So we all work on all of our weddings together. So me and Danielle work on all of them. So do the rest of the team. But we have clear roles and leads for those weddings now. So Danielle might lead on one and I might lead on one. And it means that we're going to be the people at the wedding. But because we still have such different skills and opinions as well, we do all kind of still want to work on all of them, which isn't the most efficient way of doing things, but it works really nicely. And our couples really enjoy it. I've had quite a lot of feedback recently about how kind of caring and personal it feels to be in our team and under our care as we guide them through, because there's a group of us and we do all kind of respond and look after them, and there's different little touches we have through their time with us so that they, you know, feel special and important. I've gone off on a tangent there. But there's no clear answer. We kind of just go with the flow of it, which is not my nature.
But I think, do you know what actually comes across is how important that relationship is if you're going to be starting something with somebody. Because I always think you can be really good friends with somebody, and whenever you used to like live with your friends as flatmates or whatever, you can be really good friends with somebody but actually not want to live with them. Or you can live with them for a little bit of time and thought, oh, actually we're really good friends, but you know, living together probably isn't very good for our friendship. I kind of feel like it's the same with, you know, with business, that you could be very good friends but you might not necessarily work well together and as business partners. So I think, you know, that relationship that you have with Danielle is probably really, you know, it's very unique.
It is, and I've always said, obviously, well, if we'd never chosen that villa, we probably would never have met Danielle. And Danielle could have been anyone, you know, and I definitely could not do this with anyone. Oh my God. You have to speak to people. I have to speak to Danielle multiple times a day, every day, often on the weekends. We have to, you know, obviously there's things about all of us that are annoying. You know, she finds things about me annoying, I find things about her annoying, but we're honest about it. So we, you know, you kind of an acceptance of, you just kind of, you know, give feedback in a way that is, you know, respectful and timely. And I think we both just, you know, we put up with it, because actually even just this talking on this podcast made me realize what has always been the priority is actually our business, not our friendship. And that is probably why it works. So we are friends. We are actually almost family. Like, she's like a grandma to my son. We've got various relationships, and it can get weird how they kind of transition, even in one day, we can be 10 different things to each other. But ultimately, our work and the delivery of that work is our most kind of important thing to us. Obviously, our friendship is, and we're never going to upset each other. But because the work's so important, it means the friendship and the relationship stays intact, because it has to deliver that. Ultimately, we're accountable to our clients and our couples, and it has to work for that reason.
I was going to get you to finish off with any last tips for people who are thinking about, you know, going into business together, that kind of thing. But I feel like you've just said that very nicely.
It's probably the opposite advice to give, because I'm sure a lot of people would, you know, say to think about it, and, you know, as long as it, obviously you weigh out the risks involved, but you can't really know what's going to happen. You can try and work it out and work out whether this person's going to be right, but until you're doing it, I don't think you really know what, you don't see the real person or their true way of working or their true colors until you're doing it. So maybe don't think about it as much and take a risk, but be willing to fail and be willing to learn and have many hard conversations and all of that to get to where you need to get to. But, and also, just I guess the number one thing is just having the same commitment, the same commitment level, because if Danielle didn't work as hard as I did, we would not work well. If I wasn't as available as she was, it wouldn't work as well. That's hard, because we all need boundaries and we'll work differently. We've had to work all of that out, but we're both as committed as each other, I think, is the right thing.
Has been so wonderful. I so appreciate you taking the time to chat with us and everything that you've shared. I think you're very wise, Lucy.
That's why me and Danielle get on, because I do act like an older lady, and I've always been like that since I was younger. I wouldn't say it necessarily that I'm wise, but I've always been an old before my time type person. So that's why we get on. But thank you for having me. It's been a very interesting conversation, and things that I haven't necessarily taken the time to think about before.
Thank you. I'm going to put your website and your Instagram and list everything in the show notes for people, so they can come and say hello.
Thank you.
Do you want to maybe just quickly give us your details, just for people who are listening?
Yeah, if you want to come and follow us along, we are @_LaLista and @WhiskerandWhite on Instagram.
That's lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think you'll agree that was a very special conversation. So thank you again to Lucy, and I'm going to put the links for where you can find Lucy and Danielle and see what they do. I'll put those in the show notes so they're easy to find. But yeah, a very big thank you. And thank you to you also for being here and for listening. If you have listened and, you know, you've enjoyed it, please do reach out to Lucy and Danielle. They would absolutely love to hear from you and to know that you'd enjoyed it. And if you are enjoying this series of Business Soul Friends, if you're able to rate and review on wherever you listen, it just helps more people to find the podcast and to listen to all these wonderful women who are here sharing their advice and experience of being in business with their friends. So thank you so much, and I will speak to you all again soon.